imagine what will happen when the Lord Jesus returns, you know. But we know many things will not be needed anymore. We have usually one brother on a wheelchair. Today we have two. In the very front is Elder William Sia. And I learned from him that he's not been to this church for something like 5 months because of a stroke. Oh dear friends, the Lord is good to bring him here today at the very front here. And when the Lord comes, no more wheelchairs, no more crutches, no more sickness, no more troubles. Let's turn to the Word of God in Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should be sober, righteously, and godly in this present evil world, looking for and that for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Our key verse is 13. I read it again. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. As I said, we look forward to that day, but what it will be, we cannot understand everything, nor anticipate the amazing things that will come to pass. You know, the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, and then on the night he instituted the Lord's Supper, he made this promise: in my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Now this is the promise on which we hinge and hang all our hopes. And you say, what guarantee is there? Dear friends, what guarantee do you have? Do you know? Our assurance is that Jesus, that very night, was betrayed, condemned, and the next day executed by crucifixion. But as he promised his disciples many, many times, I will die for you, I will rise for you, he did. Now that is the guarantee that what he said he would do, he did. And he says, I will come again. I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. But you know, before he comes again, many of us will have to go through the gateway of death. This is the kind of deterrence for many people. A worrisome event to die. But because of the promise and the assurance, we are not afraid of death. And yet, you know, death is part of life. Moses, who wrote Psalm 90, said, The days of our years are 70 years and 10. And if by reason of good strength and good health, it be 80 years, and you say, congratulations, I say. Not really congratulations, but condolence. For living so long, because Moses says, what you have gained is nothing more than labor and sorrow. You look back and analyze those of us who have reached that age. So, while we are in life, death is part of life. Do you know that? So, Moses in the very next verse, verse 12 says, so teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. Do you number your days, oh dear friends? I returned from Perth last week, having ministered there. And then as I received many emails, I was preparing to send condolences to one of our brethren here whose mother had passed away, a death. And just as I was sending off that message of condolence, I had a telephone call this afternoon from Melbourne. One of our members there, aged 91, a great age, his wife passed away 2 weeks ago. And he was on the phone to me. I said, well, welcome to the Widowers Fellowship. So we are. He cannot understand the grief. I say, same here. You cannot understand the grief. It is a part of our earthly travel, part of the accompanying events that we meet with. Dear friends, think. Never think death is far away. Death is very near. You say, don't think of it. I say, that's right. Don't think of it. But please understand, death is thinking of you. So be ready, dear friends. And then just as I finish talking with this friend from Melbourne on the telephone, I got another call. Oh, another member of this church's mother has passed away. So, three in a row in a week. Death. What is the answer, dear friends? Here is the answer. Maybe today the Lord will come for us. But if He does not, you and I must be ready any time that He calls, that death calls, be ready. Turn now to Luke's Gospel, chapter 16. I am struck any time I go to any of these death houses by the elaborate preparation that our Chinese undertakers prepare to send comforts to go with the dead body. All kinds of comforts nowadays, including computers and television sets and so on and so forth. Now I just want to settle for once for all. In our minds, in case you are thinking of that, please wipe it away. Luke's Gospel chapter 16. The Lord Himself tells the story of two men and how they both died and where they went to. That settles once and for all any sort of doubt or speculation you may ever have I say, if there is anyone here who does not know yet, may you know tonight and be very sure and convinced of the salvation in Jesus Christ. Verse 22 of Luke's Gospel, chapter 16. This is a story of two men. A rich man who had no pity on the poor, and a poor man who had put his faith in Jesus Christ. It came to pass that the beggar died. This is a poor man. Was carried by angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died. You see, dear friends, whether rich or poor, this event comes to all of us. And the underlying word you must note is, be ready. Maybe today is your turn. Now, we read on. What will happen so that no one here tonight who sits through this service will go away without the knowledge of what will happen at death and afterwards. Verse 23. The rich man woke up in hell, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. Please do not imagine when you go to those death houses, oh, they have 4-story apartments in paper and Mercedes-Benz waiting for them and other kinds of comforts, including air conditioning. But in hell, this man woke up and said, wow, I thought I was going to have a good time after death. And he said to Abraham, oh, please send Lazarus to me and with some water to cool my tongue. Here is a description of the torment that goes on after death. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, please send Lazarus, and I'm in torments. Verse 25. Abraham said to him, son, remember in your lifetime you had the good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now is the opposite. Tables are turned. He is having comfort, but you are having torment. Verse 26. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf, so that they which would go from here to you cannot, neither can you come from there to us. Then he said the rich man, I pray you therefore, Father, that you would send Lazarus, please, to my father's house, for I have 5 brothers, that he may testify to them that they will not come to this place of torment. Verse 29. Please follow carefully and note, salvation is now. There is no way to get out of the punishment that comes after death. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses, and they have the word of God given to them. Let them hear the gospel from them. And he said, verse 30, no, Father Abraham, if one went from the dead, they will be convinced, because the living have preached the gospel to them, and they refuse to believe. I say, dear friends, we who are living, hear the gospel tonight. In case there is anyone who has never in his lifetime committed his life to the Lord Jesus Christ, do so tonight. Here it is. Verse 31, and he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets and the gospel that is given to you now, neither will they be persuaded, even if somebody goes from the dead and talks to them the gospel. So here is a message of warning. What is your prospect after death? What do you expect to happen? I met death when I was 8 years old. We live in a small place in Kluang. Some of you from Malaysia will know where it is. And one morning when I woke up, I'm just telling you this because that morning I met death. Outside the back door of our house, there was a crying sound of a woman. And when I opened the door, I got the shock of my life. A scene I'll never forget even to this day. There was a dead man, and over him was a woman, obviously the wife, calling him and holding his face so tightly. Oh, so and so, please come back, please come back. Just expressing a wish. Dear friends, salvation is now, not then. So from that day, I followed the Lord Jesus Christ ever so closely. The next event in my life was the death of mother. I say these deaths leave an impression and an experience that you never forget. We always were told to pray for mother. I say, whom do you pray for in your family? Mother, father. In our family, mother always said, pray for father, because he is so often sick and many times on the brink of death. Pray for him. We always prayed for father. We never prayed for mother to live long, you know. This was 1946. Under the Japanese regime, we had survived 4 years of Japanese rule, and they were gone. The next year was liberation. British were back. In 5 days of fever, with three doctors looking after her, she went to heaven, just like that. I said, dear friends, never presume so-and-so is so healthy. I'm so healthy. You never know when is your turn. And mother went after 5 days. Father lived to 92. Mother was 54. So I'm telling all these stories so that we may understand. Life is never certain. And our hope is in the salvation in Jesus Christ. I want to turn you to that wonderful verse in Titus chapter 2 again. Titus chapter 2. Looking for that blessed hope. Verse 13. Dear friends, is that your expectation, your hope every day? Why do you continue to follow the Lord Jesus Christ? I say, all of us look forward to that day when the Lord will fulfill His promise. When will it be? Today all the signs are present. The falling away, the rising of the Antichrist, the rising of the apostate church today. All these signs are there, telling us the Lord is coming soon. So verse 13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now on to the text that we had read earlier. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 14, if we believe that Jesus Christ died and rose again, please find the place. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 14. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also who sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Here is the promise of a reunion. Will there be a reunion? Oh yes, not if one is in hell. That person will never be reunited with a saved person. I say, dear friends, make very sure that we all are in the family of the Lord Jesus Christ, because those who are not of the family will not be reunited. For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not go before them which are asleep. This is the wonderful transformation that will happen when the Lord returns. Two events. Make very clear that you understand the sequence. The first event, when the Lord comes, when he comes with a shout in the air, the first event is the dead in Christ shall rise first. Where does it say so? Verse 13. Those of which are alive and remain shall not go before. The word prevent is not preventing in the normal sense of the word, but it is a Latin use of the word prevent. Go before them which are asleep. So the first thing is those who are asleep will arise from the dead. Please get this very clear. The first event, what is it? When the Lord comes and there is the heavenly shout, the first event is the dead in Christ will arise first. Them which are asleep. Then the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. This is amazing. You know, in America, there are those who offer cryogenics to dead people, and dead relatives who are so gullible, so naive, believe. To send their dead relatives, dead bodies, to be deep frozen, and they give the theory that people believe that in a future date, with some unfreezing technique, the dead body will come to life again. This is called gullibility. Amazing foolishness from the earnest desire, the hopeless desire. I want to see my loved one again. $10,000 for cryogenics. Please deep freeze this body in this present condition. And they say, this body will be kept fresh and alive until the day when the technique has come. and they'll be unfrozen to life again. Amazing. No, dear friends, our Lord Jesus will come, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Verse 17. Then we who are alive and then we which are alive and remain until then shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. This is amazing. Thank God for this promise. And this is the believer's blessed hope. Let us sing the closing hymn. It is in the back of your program sheet.